251. Page 251.
Is Sandy here?
She's here.
Play that again, Gail.
Stuck our head outside this morning, it felt a little bit like fall. The wind was, the air was nice and cool and clean and clear, and thank God we didn't get all that rain they were talking like.
Amen.
Now, Jerry and I have this deal going back and forth about how much rain we got, but I have to say it rained so much at the house it broke my rain gauge. Or something happened to it anyway, I don't know. That is not what I said. I think you said that. So we're glad that we didn't get the storm surges and stuff and all the rain that we were forecast to get. Some places around did get a lot of rain and wind and stuff like that. Some more storms coming our way, I think, headed across the ocean. And I don't know. I try not to watch too much of that. But it's awfully green to be in the middle of September. So Cindy's going to have to mow the grass again. And I'm not sure that part of that's not why she's been sick all week, all those allergies and stuff. So maybe
last
I need.
Last time I was up there, she was mowing.
I know.
And that ain't been very long.
Maybe I need to mow this time. So
That's what she said.
All right, I've dug my hole deep enough. It's good to be here this morning. I'm glad you're here. Please join in as we worship God. Few announcements. For one, I don't think that we got it up here, but Mount Tabor's having an ordination of deacons this evening, so everybody's been invited to that service at 2 o'clock. I was actually asked to preach the charge sermon, so I'm going to do that this evening. Y'all pray for me, please, as we go through that. So if you can come up there and support them in that, it would be greatly appreciated. This evening will be our business meeting, and it also is our annual business meeting, so that means that we will go over the financial reports and stuff for a year. So if you want to know what's went on here financially and what we've spent our money on, stuff like that, tonight would be a good night to come and be taken apart. In all honesty, you ought to come every business meeting because, after all, this is your church. It's what your money's going for. So, next Sunday, September the 15th, will be our special offer for Brother Walter. Jeff got a text this morning from Walter. We were wondering where he was at. We had a lot of misinformation about Walter this last week, but they did get the tumor out. He had a drain in that just evidently got out the last part of the week, and so he didn't get to work, so he's working today, but trying to put some food on his table. But y'all know, I mean, the expenses that goes with all that stuff that he's going through and seems like continues, so that's what the special offering's for. Appreciate you on that. Next Sunday evening, Sunday evening, September the 30th, I'm getting ahead of myself, aren't I? Will be our singing fellowship. So that night we will have finger foods and singing, and I don't know, it may be cake time. We may have to keep Cindy's cake frozen till then. I don't know. I don't know, Linda.
Change the names to protect innocent.
There you go. So anyway, remember that and plan on coming. All right, anything else? Anyone? This morning, nursery attendants Sam and Donna. Next Sunday, Michelle and Holly. Any other announcements? It's fixing to get busy here shortly. So you might have about a month and a half to kind of cool it, but then November sets in and it'll be something every week.
Page 249.
Compassion. morning, everybody.
Morning.
It's good to see everybody here this morning. I can't think of a better place in the whole country to be is right here at Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church this morning.
Amen.
We're going to sing a choir special for you this morning that we've never done together before, but that's okay. We're going to make it through it. Because I'm looking forward to what Brother Sam's got to bring for us this morning. I know he's done a lot of praying and a lot of studying. I know there's been a lot of other people praying for him about this series of messages that he's been bringing. So I'm looking forward to that. So the choir's going to sing for you this morning an old tune entitled Keep On Walking.
Thank you, Gene. I enjoyed that song, singing service. Thanks to all of y'all. It's thank you for all your prayers on this series. This morning is going to be a little bit anything that I don't think should be said, but it's not talked about in church much. So we're in our fourth sermon on love, sex, and marriage, and this morning we're going to talk about sex. Okay, so y'all pray for me. I need your prayers. I desire very much. Now, if you've missed any of the sermons, please, you can go on our website, www.oakhillmissionarybaptist.com, and get those there. You can listen to them or download them, and hopefully in the near future, we're going to have a YouTube channel so that we can also have a link to that. We're working on it. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to get everything going. So if you're listening to this on the website, keep that in mind as well. Now, this morning, I've got a lot to say, and I don't know that I'm going to get through all this in one sermon. I originally thought there would be five sermons on this series. We'll see how the day goes, whether there has to be six or not. I'm not sure, so y'all pray about that. I'm going to have a lot, and I'm going to kind of be going back and forth on some stuff, so pay attention. I don't want to lose anybody. I told y'all at the beginning that some of these sermons overlap, and so that seems to be the case. Now, I'm not going to say anything that's going to shock you. I'm going to do my best not to say anything out of, I'm not trying to shock anybody. We just need to talk about this because God has a lot to say about it and our culture has a lot to say about it, okay? So you've probably not heard a sex sermon preached in church, have you? Anybody? Has anybody sitting here had a sermon entitled sex from the pulpit? God bless us, we've messed up somewhere. And because look at our culture and look at what's going on in the world. Church is very quiet about the subject, but the Bible isn't. God has a lot to say about it. God talks a lot about sexual relationships. And if we are not as a church teaching godly biblical principles about sex, then everything that we're getting is coming from Satan and the world. And all you have to do is open your eyes and look around to see that it's all messed up. One of the reasons that it's all messed up is because biblical standards and man's standards are eons apart. And we need to do a better job of that, church. Teaching. Parents, it's up to us. Now, what God planned for sexual relationships and what is being practiced in our culture today, as my grandson Braden would say, us humans, has gone completely astray. It's off the rails. Humans have made sex dirty. It's nasty. But God didn't create it that way. Now, we've probably avoided the issue in church because either we don't want to offend anyone or we're afraid someone will point a finger at us. Listen, nobody's guiltless. Remember, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all guilty of sin. Now, how can you say that, preacher? You don't know me that well. Well, listen, I don't know you that well. I'm not accusing you of anything, but I want you to know that God knows you. You can't hide from him. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, it says, I'm going to go quickly. Y'all can look this up and read it in your time because I've got a lot to get to. Matthew 5:27 says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now that's Jesus speaking to us humans or mankind. Okay? Well, not me, preacher. Yeah. I turn my head when I see something like that. I don't look on a woman or a man with lust. Then I have a question for you. Why are you watching some of the movies and TV shows you're watching? The commercials on TV are X-rated. The ad agencies know our weaknesses about sex and they exploit them. Products are linked to sex and nakedness to hold our attention. God made us with a desire for sexual relationship, but he also gave us guidelines to go by. And if we don't practice those guidelines, then it becomes sin. Okay. I said all that to say this. I don't want anybody sitting back there in the pews and thinking that you're better than anybody else or pointing fingers at anyone. This is to all of us, including myself, okay? Somebody you know is either in a sinful sexual relationship or they're thinking about it right now. Everybody here, they shouldn't be or they want to. I mean, somebody know, you know, don't be pointing fingers at people. We're just pointing out facts. Our culture has lost the biblical moral battle in the sexual revolution. We've lost it, folks. We're not just talking about lost people here, but we're talking about many saved people, many born-again believers are sitting in churches scattered around, even close by, far away in the world, that are participating in an immoral sexual act or relationship right now. There's something wrong with that, folk. Something bad wrong with it. We don't hear it preached from the pulpit, but it's sin. And can we get our minds focused for just a few minutes on what God's Word says about sex? Now, focus, okay? Block out the worldview and try to focus on God's plan. When we allow Hollywood to define how sex should be, we are not getting anything but a perverted definition. Nothing like what God would have us to be. Now, most of what I heard from my parents about sex was, and my church as well, was don't have sex before you get married, right? And that basically was it. That was basically what I was told. Now that is good godly advice. Don't get me wrong. Don't. Okay? Don't do it. Abstinence is not taught much anymore, though. Anywhere you go. Okay? We don't teach it in our churches. Our schools sure don't teach it. It's not taught at home. We live in a culture where we are taught, or the prevailing teaching is, don't get pregnant. We're even, a lot of schools are even handing out contraceptives now. Something wrong with that picture, folks. Something wrong with that. Let me just say that the best birth control is abstinence. It works 100% of the time. Okay? And that's what God teaches. No sex outside of marriage. All right, that'd be a good starting point. When we're hearing, everybody else is doing it, right? Well, what a reason to do something, because everybody else is doing it. One survey, high school students, 17 and under, 72% of the black people, kids, 17 and under, have had sex. 52%, 17 and under, Hispanics. 48%, 17 and under, white kids. Way to go, white kids. 48%. Churches, godly parents, we must start teaching biblical sex practices to our kids, or we're never going to change the trend. I need to know something. Contrary to what the world would teach, and we live in this PC environment, and you know, we're all winners and this, that, and the other, I want you to know something. There are consequences to your actions. I want to share just a little story with you. I saw my first naked woman when I was 8 years old. It was quite an accident. It was quite shocking to me. Everybody else thought it was funny. They laughed about it, okay? It was funny. Those images never leave your mind. Will you think about that one for a second? I saw my first dirty magazine sometime close to that age, and it was in the bathroom of a deacon of a church. I never will forget it. That's been a long time ago. Folk, what we look at and what we see is burned into our brain, and you can't get rid of it. People that get addicted to pornography and stuff like that, folk, it's hard to get off of it. It's easy to get addicted to it because those images don't leave your mind. They stay. Now, what I was told when those two instances happened is that, don't look at stuff like that. It'll make you go blind. I'm not kidding. That's what I was told. Really? You know, I mean, I don't really know what that means even, but I guess it's just a way of passing the buck on and saying don't do it. Now, no one really ever took the time to explain to me after those experiences godly principles related to sex. So, as a kid, I learned from experienced teenagers who thought they knew a lot and really didn't know anything, right? So I was getting wrong guidance there. I guess maybe we as parents and we as churches think, well, it's natural and, you know, we'll just automatically learn it by ourselves, right? God gave us a lot of direction about sex, and so he wouldn't have done that if it hadn't been vitally important to us, and we're ignoring God's teaching and just allowing the world to interact and to project these images into ourselves and our kids. Parents, Don't allow others to teach your kids about sex. You don't want the school system teaching them. Don't be naive either. They are being taught, and they're not dumb. They learn, and it is natural. So sooner or later, they're going to have to be taught the truth, or they're never going to know it. Take the time to teach them God's plan. God's plan. Plan, because they never were taught. Okay? Church, we must stand firmly on God's teachings, even if they are uncomfortable to talk about. Because if we don't, no one will. So it's time for churches to stand up and say that a lot of the things that are going on in the world pertaining to sex is sin. It's purity, downright sin. You can see why this is not a real easy sermon to preach, but it's true. Listen, sex should be saved and shared with your wife or husband on your honeymoon. That's God's plan. We're going to talk about marriage and some of this stuff more later in another sermon, but listen, if you've had sex outside of marriage or before marriage, listen, what do we do now, preacher? What do we do? Well, you can't take it back, can you? I mean, when you lose your virginity, it's gone. It don't come back. Okay, let me just say this. People that need to hear this, so just listen to me. Your virginity is valuable. So guard it. I don't know what that noise is. Oh, well. So guard it well. Save it for the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with. That was God's plan. That is God's plan. Okay? More about that in just a bit. Now listen. I've said all that also to say this. Sex isn't bad. God made it, and it was pure until men messed it up. Well, we're getting some feedback from something. I don't know what it is. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of it. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth and to every fowl of the air and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God, you see that verse 27. Go back to that if you got your Bible turned there, excuse me. So God created man in his own image, male and female created he them. Now, if you're having trouble with this part in our perverted culture that we live in, just look the next time you take a bath if you wonder what sex you are. It's very obvious. Now, in the culture of our world, we have people that want to just get up one morning and choose they're going to be a different sex. I want you to know something. God didn't make any mistakes. You are who you are because God made it so. I can't hardly stand that teaching. You know what? That's just a perversion of all of God, period. Whenever you just want to get up one morning and say, I want to be a woman today, or I want to be a man today. Well, if you're having a problem with that, just look in the mirror. It's pretty obvious, okay? The sad thing is that people want to change who they are. Embrace who you are and let God work through that. Be who God made you. He don't make mistakes. All right, look. In verse 28, he told them to be fruitful and multiply. Now, it doesn't take a doctorate degree from NYU to know that only through sexual act of a male and a female is there procreation. Okay? You can't mix and match. You can't do it any other way but the way God made it. No other combination fits. And there hasn't been a change in God's plan. It's always been the same. Now, Mark chapter 10. Now, I've tried to hurry this up. I may be hurrying it too much. Y'all pray for me. I need it. Mark chapter 10, verse 6 says this, Jesus speaking. But from the beginning, when's the beginning? When it all started, again, male and female. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Listen to me. God made us with the parts that we have. God gave us the desires that we have. God gave us our urges. And we also have our struggles with sin. He made us this way so that when we choose His way over our way, He gets honor and glory. Folk, we lose sight of that a lot, okay? It's not all about me. It's not all about my pleasure. It's not all about my desires. It's about honoring God in our decisions, because through choice, He made us different than the animals. And through choice, He gets honor and glory. Now look back at verse 8. Joined together, one flesh. I need you to get this, okay? Physically, you're joined through the act of sex. Emotionally, you're joined through the intimacy of sex. And spiritually, you're joined through the marriage covenant, which also includes sex. We're going to get to that probably next week, okay, the marriage. Now listen closely, please. I've tried to explain it over the years to different people, but I recently heard a preacher say it like this. Every time you have sex, you are bound to them in all three ways. I'll let that sink in for just a second. When you have a sexual encounter, you are bound to that person physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Now you might say, oh, it was just a one-night stand. I didn't marry him. I've heard it. Listen, he explained it like this. It's soul ties. It's things that God meant for one man, one woman to share for one lifetime. And it binds us together. And you may have not have said the marriage vows, but you're tied to that person. Some of you that's listening to this world relationship, listen to me, this thing called sex is bigger than just a feeling of pleasure. It has consequences. Now, it was created to tie two people into one person, one flesh. That's what God did. Remember how many people are you connected to? Boy, preaching them's hard. It's true. Only you can answer that. Now, the rest of that scripture says this, no more twain but one flesh. One flesh. Now, and what God has joined together, and let not man put asunder. Okay? So listen to me. God created sex, and it is meant to bind a woman and a man together for life. Now, God has always meant for this joining to be with one person. That's God's plan, okay? Do you realize that back in the beginning, there wasn't all this pomp and ceremony to the marriage, not all the big white gowns and flowers? Now, I may say something here that you don't understand or you've never thought about, but I want you to think about it for a second. The husband and the wife became one when they consummated the marriage, the sexual act. We're going to talk about that some in a future sermon. But it wasn't about standing up in front of the people that caused God to view them as married, okay? What it means is that God recognizes you as married when you consummate or have the sexual act with another person, okay? It's crazy, but it's true. Every time you have sex with someone, you are marrying that person. If you have multiple partners, you're marrying them without the covenant. You're leaving part of it out, part of God's plan, okay? Our society has desensitized this relationship so that people think it's just a feeling, and it's not. There are spiritual and emotional ties associated with it. Really, what is happening is that you're giving part of yourself to others and you can't ever get it back. It's just out there, it's gone. I use the analogy in my marriage classes that this joining, cleaving, is like gluing two pieces of paper together. Now, if you take two pieces of notebook paper and you glue them together and you let it dry and you try to separate them, what happens to it? You don't ever get the same two pieces back just like they were before they were joined. You have to tear them apart. There's listen to me, friend. The same thing happens when you join together in a sexual relationship and separate. There's damage done to both parties involved. There's no way around it because God's plan is for one man. I do this stuff because it needs to be taught from the church, from the moms and the dads to the kids and passed down through, that there's consequences to sexual action. It's not just a physical thing. As previously said, 50% of our high school children are engaged in sexual relationships, and we are not teaching them the concept. True, we talked about it in the past, that the divorce rate is somewhere around 50%. I can look up the statistics, and I may do that for a future time, but a lot of the times what causes divorce is an unscriptural sexual relationship with someone outside the marriage. Letting our kids be taught the wrong thing by the wrong people because having them with burdens they won't have to carry for the rest of their life because we can teach them God's plan. Pastor Mike Todd explains God's plan, one God, one man, one woman. This morning, I want you to know this. God's plan for love, sex, and marriage is for one man, one woman, one lifetime to be together, rightly joined. Now, the one man, one God, one woman, we're going to talk about some next week, but listen, we talked about this unbeknownst just a little bit in our Sunday school class this morning, that God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, correct? We are created in His image, okay? We have a mental, physical, and spiritual being, okay? In His image. Let me tell you something, friend. Marriage also points to the image of God. One man, one woman, one lifetime. On that note. Now, if you make some mistakes along the way, none of us are without fault. So none of us have the right to point the finger at anybody. If you're participating in some kind of sexual relationship outside of God's plan, then you're a born-again believer of God. God has a plan. God has always had a plan. And God's plan will never go away. He tells us for all of us
If you're engaging in sexual sin, stop. Your past, but you can start fresh from where you are. Foster saved, men are made that made mistakes. Listen to me. God and repent. One day we're going to have to sermon on repentance, because repent really means to acknowledge God's right, you're wrong, and turn away from it. There is no forgiveness of sin without repentance. I know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let me tell you, turn away from your sinful ways. When you accept Jesus Christ, before it's eternally too late, and He's faithful and just for God's subject. Probably going to have a little bit more. I couldn't even get through this much of it this morning. No matter where you're at, no matter what you've done, God has a plan in your life. In your life. He has a life according to God's plan in our marriage. Not just selected with preaching. The teacher part of preach, but God put it in there for a reason. I'll ask you to stand with me for a word of prayer. Lord, we know that we live out in the world and people just treat sex something that's purely physical and just repent, turn away from it. That's what we need to do. Get our heart. They don't know Jesus as their personal Savior.
273.
Search your heart. Listen to the Spirit.